Nick. Second floor. I didn't sleep well last night. Not just because of the bass from the party and the cav thumping up the stairwell all night. In the bathroom, I shake two more little blue pills into my hand. They're about the only thing keeping me functioning right now. I toss them back. I wander out into the apartment. As I pass the iMac, the screen flickers to life. Did I jolt it? If so, I didn't notice. But there it is. The photograph of Ben and me. I stand frozen in place in front of it. Drawn to it in the same way, I suppose, that a self-harmer is drawn to run the razor blade over the skin of their wrist. After that dinner on the rooftop, everything was different. Something had shifted. I didn't like the way Papa had favored Ben. I didn't like the way Ben's eyes slid away from mine when he talked about our Europe trip. I also very much didn't like the fact that every time I suggested we go for a drink, he was too busy. Had to rush off to see his editor to review some new restaurant. Avoiding my calls, my texts, avoiding my eye when we met on the stairs. This wasn't how it was supposed to be. It wasn't what I'd planned when I had offered him the apartment. He had been the one to get in touch with me. His email had blown open the past. I had taken a huge risk inviting him here. I had assumed we had an unspoken agreement. I walk across to the wall behind my iMac, run my hands over the surface, feel the thin crack in the plaster. There's a second staircase here, a hidden one. Antoine and I used to play in it when we were kids. Used it to hide from Papa, too, when he was in one of his dangerous moods. I'm ashamed to admit this, but there were a couple of times when I used it to watch Ben, peering into his apartment, into his life, trying to work out what he was up to, wondering what he could be writing so busily on his laptop, who he was calling on his mobile. I strained to hear the words, but caught nothing. Though he snubbed me, it seemed he did have time for the other residents of this place. I found them in the cab one afternoon when I came down to do my washing. Heard the laughter first, then Papa's voice. Of course, when I inherited the business from their mother, it was a mess. Had to make it profitable. Have to be creative now with a wine business, especially when the estate's no longer producing, and it'll all turn to vinegar soon. Have to find ways to diversify. What's going on? I called. A private tasting. They stepped out of the wine cellar like two naughty schoolboys. Papa holding a bottle in one hand, two glasses in the other. Ben's teeth, when he smiled, were tinted from the wine he'd drunk. He held one of the few remaining Magnum bottles of the 1996 vintage. A gift from my father, it seemed. Nicolas. Papa drawled. I suppose you've come to break up the party. Not, would you like to join us, son? Care for a glass? In all the time I have lived under his roof, my father has never suggested the two of us do anything like their cozy little wine tasting. It was salt in the wound. The first proper betrayal. I told Ben what sort of man my father really is. Had he forgotten? Ben grins out at me from the photograph on the screensaver. And there I am grinning away next to him, like the fool that I was. July, Amsterdam. The sun in our eyes. Talking to Jess has brought it all back. That evening, Ben and I spent in the Weed Cafe, telling him all about my birthday, the gift from Papa. How it was like a catharsis. How I felt cleansed, purged of it all. Afterwards, Ben and I wandered out into the darkening streets. Just kept walking, chatting. I wasn't sure where we were going. I don't think he had a clue either. Somewhere along the way, we'd left the touristy part of town and the crowds behind. These canals were quieter, more dimly lit. Elegant old houses with long windows through which you could see people inside, talking over glasses of wine, eating dinner, a guy typing at a desk. This was somewhere people actually lived. You couldn't hear anything other than the lapping of the water against the stone banks. Black water, black as ink. The lights from the houses dancing on it, and the smell like moss and mold. An ancient smell. No queasy clouds of weed to walk through here. I was sick of the reek of it. Sick, too, of the crush of other people's bodies, the chatter of other people's conversation. I was sick even of the two other guys, their voices, the stink of their pits, their sweaty feet. We'd spent too long together that summer. I'd heard every joke or story they had to tell. With Ben, it was different somehow, though I couldn't put my finger on why. This quiet. I felt like I wanted to drink it in like a cold glass of water. It felt magical. And telling Ben all that stuff about my dad. You know when you've eaten something bad and after you vomit you feel empty but also kind of cleansed, almost better than before in some indefinable way. Thanks, I said again, for listening. You won't tell anyone, will you, the other guys? Oh, of course not, he said. This is our secret, mate, if you like. We were walking along a part of the canal now that was even darker. I think a couple of the lamps had stopped working. It was deathly quiet. You know those moments in life that seem to happen so smoothly it feels like they've been scripted in advance? This was like that. I don't remember any conscious decision to move towards him. But the next thing I knew, I was kissing him. It was definitely me that made the first move. I know that. Even if it was like my body moved before my brain had worked out what it was going to do. I'd kissed plenty of people. Girls, I mean. Only ever girls. At house parties or drunk after a formal, a college ball. Fooled around. And it wasn't unpleasant. But it had never felt any more intimate or exciting than, I don't know, a handshake. It didn't disgust me exactly, but the whole time it was happening, I'd found myself thinking about the logistical things, like whether I was using my fingers and tongue right, feeling a little queasy about how much saliva was being passed back and forth between us. It felt like a sport I was practicing, maybe trying to get better at. It never felt like something exciting, something that made my pulse quicken. But this was different. It was as innate as breathing. It was strange how firm his mouth seemed after the softness of the girls I'd kissed. I wouldn't have thought there would be a difference. And it seemed so right, somehow. Like it was the thing I'd been waiting for, the thing that made sense. I took hold of the chain around his neck, the one I had watched so many times appear and disappear beneath the line of his shirt, the one with the little figure of the saint hanging from it. I gave it a little tug, pulled him closer to me. And then we were moving backwards into the darkness. I was pushing him into some secret corner, falling to my knees in front of him. Again, every movement so fluid, like it had all been written out in advance, like it was meant to be. Unzipping his fly and taking him in my mouth, the warmth and hardness, the secret scent of his skin. My knees stung where I knelt on the rough cobblestones, and even though I'd never allowed myself to think about this, I must have thought about it somewhere in my subconscious, somewhere in my deepest thoughts, hidden even from myself, because I knew exactly what I was doing. He smiled afterwards, a sleepy, lazy, stone smile. But for me, after that rush of euphoria, there was an immediate descent. I've never had a come down like it. My knees hurt. My jeans were damp from something I'd knelt in. Fuck. I don't know what happened there. Shit. I'm so wasted. Which was a lie. I had been stoned, yes. But I never felt more clear-headed in my life. I'd never felt more alive, either. Electric, wired. so many different things. Mate, he said with a smile, it's nothing to be worried about. We were a bit pissed, a lot stoned. He gestured around us, shrugged, and it's not like anyone saw. I couldn't believe how relaxed he was about it. But maybe at the back of my mind I'd known this about him, this side of him. I'd once heard someone at Cambridge describe him as an omnivore. Wondered what that meant. Don't tell anyone, I told him. I was lightheaded with fear suddenly. Look, you don't understand. This, it has to stay just between us. If it somehow got back, look, my dad, he wouldn't get it. The thought of him finding out was like a punch to the gut. It winded me just thinking about it. I could see his face, hear his voice, could still remember what he'd said when I told him I didn't want that birthday gift, what was in that room. What's wrong with you, son? Are you a faggot? The disgust in his voice. He actually might kill me, I thought, if he suspected. He'd probably prefer that to having a son like me. At the very least, he'd disinherit me. And while I didn't know how I felt about taking his money, I wasn't ready to give it up just yet. After Amsterdam, I decided I never wanted to see Benjamin Daniels again. We drifted apart. I had a string of girlfriends. I left for the States for nearly a decade, didn't look back. Yeah, there were a couple of guys there, the freedom of thousands of miles of land and water, even if I still always seemed to hear my father's voice in my head. But nothing serious. It doesn't mean I didn't think about that night later. In a way, I know I've been thinking about it ever since, trying not to. And then, all those years later, Ben's email. It had to mean something, him getting in touch like that, out of the blue. It couldn't just be a casual catch-up. Except after that dinner on the terrace, when he'd so impressed Papa, I barely saw or spoke to him other than in passing. He even had time for the concierge, for God's sake, but not me, his old friend. He was ensconced here, practically rent-free. He'd taken what he needed and then cut loose. I began to feel used, and when I thought about how shifty he was each time I approached him, I felt a little frightened too, though I couldn't put my finger on why. I thought of Antoine's words about Papa disinheriting us on a whim. It had seemed like madness at the time, but now I began to feel that I didn't want Ben here after all. I began to feel that I wanted to take back the invitation, but I didn't know how to do it. He knew too much, had so much he could use against me. I had to find another way to make him leave. The computer's timer must have run out. The screen of my iMac goes black. It doesn't matter. I can still see the image. I've been haunted by it for over a decade. I think about how I nearly kissed his sister last night. The sudden, shocking, wonderful resemblance to him when she turned her head just so, or frowned, or laughed. And also the resemblance of the moment, the darkness, the stillness. The two of us held apart from the rest of the world for just a beat. That night in Amsterdam. It was the worst, most shameful thing I had ever done. It was the best thing that had ever happened to me. That was how I used to see it anyway. Until he came to stay.